At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Denver, we caught up with Dr. Kerry Ryan, pet cloning and genetic preservation expert with Viagen in Cedar Park, Texas.
We've been working with dogs and cats for 3 years. We're the only company in the United States that clones dogs and the only company in the world that clones cats. And we've also been cloning horses and livestock for about 15 years. So I think this will be here to stay. And I think as we get better and better at it, the costs will come down and people will be more and more interested in it.
There's more information at AVMA.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson.
You guys as a group, as receivers, seem to enjoy putting pads on guys downfield, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, I think a big part of our offense, you know, is us blocking on the perimeter. You know, that's for short passes. That's for outside runs. That's for quarterback runs. You know, that's for everything, you know. So, I think another undervalued thing that goes unnoticed is, you know, just as an offense, you know, we love to see each other to be successful. You know, it's a group of guys that we have fun playing together, you know, since day one. You know, we have a lot of different skill sets. We have a lot of talent, you know, and when you got that out there, you know, it's fun blocking for those guys. You know, it's fun playing with those guys. You know, you got guys like Tariq and Taylor and Anthony Miller and Trey. You know, I mean, we have fun getting each other open, you know, blocking for each other. You know, we have fun out there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
They beat the Vikings 24-10 in the season finale. Matt Nagy's first year, a memorable one.
The NFL postseason finally returns to Soldier Field, Bears fans. Listen throughout the week as all of our shows and team of Bears experts get you ready for the wildcard round matchup with the reigning Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena when they host Illinois this Sunday. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Four Bears are named to the AP's All-Pro team. Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, and Tariq Cohen. Now, Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio will interview for the head coaching vacancies in Denver and Miami on Monday. But Fangio says hasn't spent a minute preparing for those job interviews.
I've done zero on that second part.
Zero.
Zero.
Earlier in the year?
Zero.
A lot of people do preparation for that.
Yeah. I really don't. That's why I'm here.
The Bears All-Pro safety Jackson has 6 interceptions and 2 defensive touchdowns this season. He missed the last 2 games with a bum ankle, but was limited in practice yesterday, the Bears' final practice before the wildcard game happens this afternoon. At the United Center, the Bulls play Indiana for the 3rd time this season. Catch our Bulls Pacers pregame starting at 6:45. Former MLB GM Jim Bowden says that the Nationals' latest offer to Bryce Harper is much more than $300 million. 670thescore.com/Mullion Haw is brought to you by local Geico agent Tim Calcagno at 630-671-0600. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the home for the Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, breaking down the Bears-Eagles game. Listen to Mullion Haw starting at 5 a.m. and throughout the day to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Football intensive discussion with Bears and Eagles looming on Sunday. Matt Miller joined us. Pete Futek did as well. We've got a lot more coming up in this show, mostly football related. And we're going to say hello to a new Cubs bench coach, too.
This from Tampa. Brent Grimes went on his wife's podcast just recently. I Heart Miko is the name of the podcast.
Okay.
Please rate and subscribe. The cornerback, Brent, missed the first 2 games of the season with an injury and returned in week 3 to face the Steelers. Tampa Bay then asked him to shadow Antonio Brown. This is from a sporting news story. But Grimes was upset because he wasn't getting paid enough to do that. Grimes explained on the podcast that he signed a $7 million contract plus incentives on a 1-year deal to play left corner. corner. He was then surprised in week three when Tampa asked him to contribute more. Here's the quote. "We get to the Steelers, and then they start asking me to follow people. And I was just tired of every year of my career, I don't get any type of respect for what I do. And then y'all hit me with a $7 million contract. Then we get to a game with Antonio Brown and it's follow receivers. And I couldn't agree with it because it's just disrespectful. Because people who follow receivers all the time, unless they're on a rookie contract or trying to get paid, are usually making $13 or $15 million a year." The cornerback continued.
So his point was, you don't pay me enough to do that?
The cornerback continued saying, "It just effed up my vibe for the whole year, and to be honest, I felt disrespected." He also explained how the following week against the Bears, he was benched at halftime because he was on his phone. He claims nobody knows what happened in the organization because he asked defensive coordinator Mike Smith about it, and he didn't know. Grimes said secondary coach John Hoke is the one who told him he was benched. Grimes' frustration with Hoke continued all year. So he revealed on the podcast he told coaches he wanted to sit out the final game of the season because of him. Hoke, according to Grimes, apologized, and the cornerback ended up playing in Week 17. However, considering Grimes signed a one-year deal and is a free agent this offseason, you probably don't expect him back with Tampa Bay.
Wow.
That defense, remember how bad they looked
against
the Bears?
Oh, they're playing single high safety and couldn't stop anything.
Awful. And they didn't have Chris Conte, and we thought, oh, well, you lack Chris Conte, and of course you're going to look like that. That secondary was so screwed into the ground that this was going on before it. That's quitting. That's what that is. Quitting for $7 million.
Getting our first higher quality images now of Ultima Thule, and it's a snowman. He's a sweater. No, it's two reddish globes joined by a narrow neck. It is 4 billion miles from Earth, and scientists actually put on 3D glasses to see this. They say it's about the size of a city, two-sphered cosmic body, and they're looking at these stereo images. They think there might be some curvy ridges. They are now still looking for craters and or wispy potential rings that at the moment it is not showing any signs. They're looking for moons as well that they think might be orbiting this particular body, that it's going to take them some time to find it out. But that's not why you called. That's not what's cool here.
Okay.
We mentioned that the New Horizons spacecraft had on it the ashes of the men who discovered Pluto.
Clyde.
Who's also Clyde, our guy, who is the great uncle of Clayton Kershaw. But you scroll down here, you get to the fourth graph of the AP story. And the stereo 3D images were put together for astrophysicists by an astrophysicist. And this astrophysicist who was there at Johns Hopkins University's Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, is where Mission Control was. Guess who actually formulated and presented these images?
The great uncle of Madison Bumgarner.
No.
I have no idea.
Brian May, guitarist for Queen.
Oh, clammers!
Come on! Seriously?
We mentioned it before.
I didn't know he was still getting work in the astrophysics field.
Not only was he... this isn't one of those little urban myths that... And if you've seen the movie, they joke about him, like, what, are you going to be an astrophysicist or something? After I saw the movie, after I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, I went back and was amazed that he actually, when he started to play guitar for Queen, he was well down the road toward his doctorate and abandoned it. Came back to it 3 decades later with new technology and
the field had changed.
Yeah, but they allowed him to rework and represent his doctoral thesis.
Wow.
And he continued to pursue it and has become a respected, I think he might have been knighted as an astrophysicist, but he actually works for Britain in an official capacity and has been involved on a guest basis with NASA as well. But the guy is, it's not just a bit, it's not just some honorary thing. He is a legitimate, highly respected astrophysicist.
I was just Googling Brian May, New Horizons. On space.com, apparently Brian May has written a soundtrack for Ultima Thule. He's written a song called New Horizons.
Well, this is what
it was just released after New Year's.
Well, I laughed out loud.
We should find the song.
In the AP copy, Brian May, an astrophysicist, better known as a guitarist with the rock band Queen.
Just a.
No, he's not a guitar. He's not only the guitarist. Look how many writing credits he's got alongside Farouk Balsara. Look how many other their massive international hits he's written or co-written. Like, and this guy's doing this. I just found that to be absolutely awesome.
He wrote a song for the New Horizons thing. That's wow. This is a kind of a sad story, and hopefully it gets rectified pretty soon. Maori Davenport is a senior at an Alabama high school. She is the 15th ranked player in the 2019 incoming class. She's headed to Rutgers, but just before the fifth game of her season, which was back in late November, she was suspended for the season. And here's why. Her principal and coach had to, and not the same person, two different people, but they brought her into the office and had to tell her that she had been ruled ineligible. This is a story from ESPNW. Ruled ineligible for the rest of her senior season. At issue was a stipend check for $857.20 sent to Davenport by USA Basketball. Davenport had led Team USA in rebounding and blocks en route to a gold medal in Mexico City at the FIBA Americas U18 Championship back in August.
Okay.
USA Basketball routinely pays players small amounts during its summer programs to help them recover costs, including lost wages and employment opportunities. Typically, USA Basketball confers with high school federations to determine if players are allowed to accept payments. But due to an error that USA Basketball admits it made, not her, not Davenport, no call was made to the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which does not allow payments of more than $250.
Oh, man.
While when USA Basketball realized its mistake, it notified Henderson and the AHSAA, the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Davenport then sent the money back. She sent the money back. But the organization ruled she was ineligible for one season.
Oh, come on.
They're sticking with this.
Oh, can't cooler heads just say, look,
they sent the money back. She got sent $850. She's going, thankfully, I read through the whole thing. Thankfully, her eligibility at Rutgers won't be disrupted. She's going to be able to play right away and ought to.
Sure.
But she's going to lose her entire senior high school basketball season because of an $850 check that she sent back, where cashing it wasn't her fault in the first place. Because if you could think about it, if you're an 18, 17-year-old senior, you're playing for Team USA.
They can't.
All this stuff gets checked out. You get the check from Team USA.
What prevents them from undoing this and making it right?
Being a horse's ass? I mean, nothing. They're just being jerks. That's the only thing that prevents them from undoing this and letting her play her senior season.
Wow.
It's pure nonsense.
That sounds like the kind of thing where just enough attention is going to get that reversed.
Why I brought it up.
The right thing to do. So good for you. I love a dumb criminal. And this one, I'm not making this up. I promise. This comes from TwinCities.com from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. A Bob Marley hat helped police nab a man suspected of robbing a Dollar Tree in Roseville, Minnesota on Christmas Eve. This is just the start. Quincy Gerard Petty, 39, also reportedly forgot to put his mask on when he first walked into the retailer and told an employee at the register he wasn't playing, according to court documents. "Open your register, I'm robbing you," he reportedly said. He reached under his sweatshirt near his waistband and yelled, "If you put your hands down, y'all done," according to the criminal complaint. A store employee recognized Petty as the boyfriend of another employee.
Oh, no.
When he saw the man look at him, Petty remembered his mask and pulled it over his face. Wait a second. I gotta get a mask on here. So another man accompanied Petty during the robbery. They took off with about $2,000 after store managers emptied a safe. They fled in a red SUV. He had changed his clothes when the authorities arrived. However, he was wearing the same Bob Marley hat that the store employees reported seeing on the suspect, according to an affidavit for a search warrant. So he knew enough to change his clothes after he finally remembered to put his mask on. But he kept the hat on that everybody described that he was wearing. And that's not the best part. Officers found a crumpled envelope inside his pockets, with more than $600 in cash, mostly in $1 bills. On the envelope was written the word robbery.
Yes! Yes!
There you go.
He wrote robbery on the envelope. Or he bought pre-printed robbery envelopes. I don't know that he wrote it. It's possible that he had it made for him.
Had he made it to the bank on the deposit line, he would have put robbery. I mean, that's what. How dumb this guy was.
He then denied involvement in the robbery.
No, that's robbery. It's a friend of mine.
It's for robing. It's how we spell it. There will be a robing that is done.
And a Bob Marley hat is, I assume, there's no pictures of the Bob Marley hat?
No, I don't know if it's a picture of Bob Marley or if it's indeed one of those knitted dreadlock container hats.
Or it could be a hat with dreadlocks attached to the hat.
No, I don't think so. My guess is that it's a yellow, black, and green, red, whatever.
Yeah.
One of those hats that it expands like a Jiffy Pop container to hold your dreadlocks. I don't know. Is there a Jamaican
term
for that
hat? Or it could be a trucker hat with a print on it of Bob Marley.
It could be, too.
We don't know.
All I know is they got him, and he had the envelope that said robbery on it.
This from Sydney, Australia, where anything can kill you. An Australian man triggered an emergency police response after a noisy exchange with a spider startled a passerby into reporting what sounded like a violent disturbance to the authorities. A neighbor was walking past a house in the west coast city of Perth on Wednesday when they heard a man repeatedly yelling, "Why don't you die?" and a toddler screaming. Obviously, you hear that, you call. The neighbor then called the police emergency number. Multiple police units responded with the lights and the sirens. They checked out the house. The post where the police had detailed what was going on, they since deleted it because the man apologized for the inconvenience to the police. No injury cited except to the spider. The man had been yelling and screaming so loud at the spider and the toddler apparently getting in on destroying the spider that neighbors had to call the cops.
Well, in Australia, to be fair, a lot of these spiders can kill you.
Everything can kill you. Australia has one of the world's highest populations of spiders compared to people, and biologists have said the Southern Hemisphere heat wave has raised the likelihood of finding spiders in buildings. The guy apparently has a deathly fear of spiders to begin with, which raises the question, why haven't you moved out of Australia where all of the spiders can kill you and scare you?
What does this group of people have in common? Former Bears pass rusher Jared Allen. Former Rams quarterback Mark Bulger.
Ah.
Titans linebacker Keith Bullock and Titans tackle Michael Roos. I don't know if you saw this. What do they have in common?
I did see
you
it.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is they were all Pro Bowl selections during their NFL career is one. Two, they're all currently living in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And three, they are all part of a competitive curling team. This is absolutely true.
Cool.
Jared Allen said he wanted to pursue an Olympic sport. He thought about badminton, and then he said it was too taxing.
Everybody thinks about badminton.
Badminton's awesome.
It's hard.
Badminton's awesome. When we played it in gym in high school, I found I was good at it.
Yeah, those the Olympic equipment, though, those things move so much.
Oh,
they're like butterflies darting in and out.
It's crazy. But I actually enjoyed badminton when we got to play it. But they're curling, and they're not that good yet, but they're learning. They've got enough resources to get themselves some real equipment when some of the real teams, the Olympic level teams, are making fun of the quality of their equipment, and then we're sort of giving them older stuff, some gently used stuff, and they're learning the sport. They're competitive, they're athletic enough, and it's be something to follow.
Have you ever
see if they can raise their ranking.
Have you curled?
I've not.
Have you ever curled? It's much harder than it looks.
Well, it looks hard.
It's harder than that, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
You see these guys, girls just glide around the ice on the one foot like that. That takes some practice and some skill.
It sounds like a crappy version of Cool Runnings.
I think it sounds pretty cool. I think it didn't Jared Allen do the riding off into the sunset video? Remember, he did.
It was literally super cool.
The horse, and he has a long leather jacket.
Yep.
And a duster. Yeah.
The Old West duster.
Yeah, and he was able to get away with it because he's Jared Allen, but now there's just they've got some little sponsors on their jerseys and everything, and more power to him. Good luck.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. When we come back, some selections have been made, and Bears are among them.
Okay.
Some credit to a defense that you've seen all season long dominate. We'll tell you what's up next. 670 The Score.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy has a message for Bears fans going to Sunday's playoff game versus the Eagles.
Let everybody know here in Chicago how important it is to get those fans to be as crazy as they've ever been.
We're right there with you, Bears fans. We're Chicago's destination to talk Bears playoffs. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. The NFL playoffs begin late Saturday afternoon. The league tries its best to avoid early afternoon postseason games, with only 5 of last season's playoff teams returning. The Eagles, Patriots, Rams, Saints, and Chiefs. If there's one reason the NFL continues to succeed, it's that its system makes it almost impossible for teams to make postseason year in and year out. Injuries, free agency, coaching changes, bad ownership all frequently add up to teams rising and falling frequently. The exception is in New England. The Patriots have been in postseason 10 straight seasons and 16 of the last 18. They last failed to win at least 10 games in 2002. Call the Patriots lucky. Call them cheats. One thing is indisputable. You have to call them winners. I'm John Feinstein.
This week, you'll find great deals at Walgreens. Now with card, buy one, get one free on hundreds of vitamins and supplements through February 23rd. Save on great brands such as Nature's Bounty Vitamins and more. And 16-ounce Blue Diamond Almonds are just $5.99 with card. Get great deals on the essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Of equal or lesser value. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
34 million Americans smoke. That's about 1 in 7 people. Not every smoker wants to continue using cigarettes. Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Former Bear Corey Wooten.
Needed is Kyle Long.
I think having Kyle Long back would be huge. And I think that the whole year, they've held up pretty good protection-wise. But I think a lot of it, too, is because of Trubisky's escapability. Trubisky, I mean, he's so underrated as far as how he uses his feet. But when you talk about Kyle Long coming back, I'm more excited for him to come back for that running game because we thought this running game would really take off, and they really haven't got it going. So Kyle Long, I mean, he's a pro-bowler guy. He's a real road grader. So having him back would be huge. And so when that fight happened, he had a lot of built-up aggression intensity with, you know, trying to shock and lock guys. He wants to get back on the field, so he's anxious. So I'm excited to see him back for that playoff push.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. WeCoach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
Stream the score with Radio.com. It's easy. Go to Radio.com/listen or download the Radio.com app now and get all your favorite score shows live on your mobile device. Stream the score with Radio.com. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Tom Thayer.
Tom, there was one time we did know what Matt Nagy was thinking on the sidelines. That's when Mitch Trubisky came to the sideline during a timeout. He looked mad.
I love to see the tough love by Matt. I think he's a really serious guy in terms of the team moment.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Former Bear Corey Wooten.
See, sometimes they have so many weapons, I feel like it's kind of like pick your poison in certain games. Allen Robinson might be the guy, and Taylor Gabriel, and Tariq Cohen might not be. So I think they just have so many weapons that it's hard to share it all around at times.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
At Walgreens, we know it's cold and flu season again, a time when all you want to do is cheer at your kid's game. But instead, you're coughing and aching the entire time. That's why Walgreens is minutes away to help you find everything you need to feel better, like Vicks DayQuil and NyQuil Severe Combo Packs, along with expert care that goes beyond the pharmacy. Stop in today for personalized advice and find the right relief right here. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with card Vicks DayQuil and NyQuil Severe 24-count combo packs are $9.99 through January 5th. Use as directed.
It drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It would do everything to cement this defense. I would say that the regular season is fine and dandy, and taking care of business, being 12-4 is a phenomenal thing and a phenomenal turnaround for this team. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't play well in the playoffs. So everybody will forget how good we were throughout the season. So you got to capitalize on this moment.
The familiar voice of Bears defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. Is he on your list?
He is not on the list. Instead, Associated Press have named four Bears All-Pros. Outside linebacker Khalil Mack, cornerback Kyle Fuller, safety Eddie Jackson, and punt returner Tariq Cohen. Many members of the Bears press corps have reported this over the last 10, 20 minutes or so. And that just it makes sense, doesn't it? Hicks gets a bit of a snub on the All-Pro thing. He was a bit of a snub on the Pro Bowl thing last season.
All-Pro means more than Pro Bowl
because of
the number of guys who will continue to make the Pro Bowl as people decide they want to opt out.
For All-Pros, that checks the box to me. Although it is interesting to see Cohen as a punt returner. And I hope that's a... It's like tipping the hand a little bit of what's to come as far as how we vote for Pro Bowlers and All Pros or assemble those lists. Let's just go ahead and make the hybrid position or what have you, the athlete position, the running back / wide receiver position. That's how and it's not just because that's where Tariq Cohen ought to be selected or what he does, but that's a position in the NFL in a different way now than it ever has been. At least that's my contention. You look around the league, and there are a number of players that fill dual roles. To say nothing of tight ends who are really wide receivers or wide receivers who are... I mean, that's... We're seeing blends of positionality.
I think that they should also do that for some of these edge rushers, just like the draft Knicks have just gone to edge, whether it's 3-4, 4-3, and they don't really call a defensive end or outside linebacker anymore. If the NBA was able to do it with their all-star game, they have front court, back court. And you know, even that's being blended now, too. But you don't have your point guard, two guard, small forward, power forward, and center because so many guys, they've seen the analyses before that there are really 13 at a minimum different NBA positions that are played.
So members of that Bears defense, at least as it seems to me, are going to have to put up with some serious threat from the tight end position. Zach Ertz is a good one, and Dallas Goedert has been playing pretty well. I found these numbers. Evan Silva of a bunch of different places put this out on Twitter. Roto World and a couple other spots, I think, had put this out. Nick Foles throwing to former Bear Alshon Jeffrey has been incredibly successful. You want to know how successful?
How successful?
His completion rate to Jeffrey is 76% and 11.6 yards per attempt. It's an 8.6 touchdown rate. It is, to everyone else on the Eagles, 67%, 6.6 yards per attempt, and a 3.8 touchdown percentage.
Huh.
Clammers!
Alshon Jeffrey is the guy that they go downfield for. And given the way that they're going to have to match up against the two tight end sets that the Eagles will likely run, that puts, at least in my mind, it puts a little bit more pressure on Eddie Jackson as he returns from injury. I mean, he's got to be healthy and carry that alley and understand what it is to have to make those coverages. Thankfully, Kyle Fuller is an all-pro, and hopefully he's the guy matching up against Alshon. That'd be fun to watch.
This segment's brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold and flu season is around the corner, and people with conditions like heart disease, asthma, and cancer are especially at risk. Use the thermometer that you and your family can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 70 clinical studies, and it's the leading thermometer used in hospitals. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Need one last thing to do before going back to school or work? Join the Chicago Wolves, who are off to their best start since their last Calder Cup championship tonight and Saturday, and enjoy free parking for the Wolves' 25th anniversary, sponsored by Kia. Another thing you can do tonight, if you are looking for something, is go hang out with this guy.
Yeah, we're going to watch the Bulls.
Connor McKnight.
Yeah, we're going to watch the Bulls.
Is at a Budweiser Bulls watch party, 7 to 9, at Scoreboards Pub and Grill in Oswego.
It's a good trade for them.
Well, yeah,
it is.
You had to make these moves.
No, and there will be more coming, but it's a decent return for the asset you got. It's just the way that you got there and the way that you've handled some of the other smaller trades and movings around haven't been all that efficient.
Yeah, every time you really start to look at this forensically and you go back and you look at value of how the Bulls got to these players, that the fact that they're waiving Cameron Payne, and now that you have these Doug McDermott deals, plural, that involved, you know, the picks that became Joseph Nurkic and Gary Harris, and then
I like those guys.
Yeah, Nurkic goes for like 25 points and 25 rebounds the other night, and he's just throwing down on everybody. The amount of value and just that they've bled away in this, the whole Jim Boylan thing. I mentioned it briefly yesterday. It's got to stop. This is an unmitigated disaster, the kind of basketball that they're playing and what they say they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. It's wrong, and it's objectively wrong. It's objectively bad. You're hurting your young players. I don't know what the hell they're doing why the hell they're doing it.
You're not playing Carter, which is an issue to me, because I understand his... I guess it was Cody Westerlund who was asking about why Carter had not seen the floor really at all in his last... You know, he gets benched. He plays, like, what was 13 minutes, something like that.
I don't know.
He's told, or Boylan tells everyone, that that's... He can learn from the bench, that there are things that you watch the game, you observe stuff. And while, you know, you hear that a lot in baseball, you give a guy a day off so he can watch the game and get a different perspective. There's 162 games in that season.
No, but
it just doesn't feel right for a rookie working into that rotation and having to play the way he's played. Play.
Instead, he's going to watch Robin Lopez post up.
Play. I mean,
everything they're doing is bad. The way they're trying to do it, the way they say they're trying to do it, whom they're asking to do some of these things, it's all backward. It's as if this is like John Fox offense stuff, where it's almost like you're trying to get further from winning a championship. I don't know what the thinking is behind any of it. I'm looking at the total all pro first team here from AP.
Oh, you get the whole thing?
In the NFL. Yeah, I do. I have it here, and it's really not a surprise here. Pat Mahomes and Todd Gurley and Hopkins and Thomas and Kelsey.
Did you know that DeAndre Hopkins
Nelson made it?
Of course he did. DeAndre Hopkins has not dropped a pass all season.
Yeah, it's good.
115 catches, no dropped passes.
Is that a record?
Incredible.
I don't know what the record is since that kind of thing has been tracked, but it's a reminder. When you have four first-team All-Pro players, you can't lose in the first round of the playoffs.
No, you really can't.
A lot of this...
Change the expectations.
When you start getting the individual awards and you start thinking about how special that is, I wonder how many teams with four or more first-team All-Pros didn't make it out of the wild card round. That's got to be a pretty small list.
Well, the other team, in just perusing this quickly, the other team with four is... Would that be Kansas City? I believe it would.
Mm-hmm. But they got the bye, though.
Right.
So I'm just saying...
Well, I'm just counting.
But they're already out of the wild card round.
Jason Kelce. I'm looking at the Eagles. Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox would be the two Eagles, unless I'm missing one here. Four versus two.
Well, no, Kelce's Travis Kelce of the Chiefs.
I've got a center named Kelce.
Oh, you do?
So it'll be Jason Kelce.
Oh, you're right. There is a second. Both Kelce's made it.
Dueling Kelce's.
Yeah, that was the Kelce that was in costume to celebrate the Super Bowl championship. He was dressed up as a classic Philadelphia. Was it a mummer?
He was dressed up?
Don't you remember the wild? Yes, the Jason Kelce was wearing.
I'm blanking on this.
We had to look it up. Kelce. He was dressed as something called a mummer.
Mummer? What is a mummer?
I forgot.
Oh, yeah, he had the whole thing. What the hell is this?
The hat with the plume, and mm-hmm. It was some sort of traditional garb that he was wearing.
Buy the costume.
I don't want
you to. You can. On Amazon, you can buy the Philly Championship Parade full costume and hat, adult-sized, for the low price of $165.
No.
Okay, you can buy the Jason Kelce Parade Suit Mummer's Costume Bobblehead for $115.
No.
Okay.
That's two.
Just offering some things to you.
The answer is no.
See it if you're interested in any of this.
I'm wondering a Bears Super Bowl celebration. If they're celebrating regular season wins in the way that they are.
Like constructing sandwiches of death?
Yeah, the Super Bowl victory party would be off the chain.
Well, you'd have costumes for sure. Bear Man would be out there.
No, but the Bears themselves would have to one-up anything that has been done before because of the way everybody celebrates things now. They'd have to...
Well, of course.
I hope they're thinking about it. I hope they're already planning it. Preparing for it.
Check
it.
Maybe did Mark Trestman leave his notes, perhaps? You could check the notes on what he had planned for a Super Bowl parade when he came in on his first interview.
Yeah, I do like the fact that, you know, if you are just joining us, Matt Miller, who was with us earlier, he thinks the Bears are absolutely going to smoke the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't see it being close.
No, and it's because of that defense. And I think buried within the Eagles' success is it's some good work from Nick Foles. It's a research. I'll say it. It's some of a resurgence of that offense because of Darren Sproles. The guy's mattered. He's had a couple of big plays. I guess, you know, we were wrong, I suppose, when talking to a caller. We're going to do our crosstalk with WIP in a couple of minutes here after the break. And I suppose that's one thing that needs to be genuinely asked is what he means for that Eagles offense. Because they just go running back by committee.
I think he's a favorite. I think people know who he is. I think it's a product of them not really having an identity in the run game.
But it's also the way that offense works. I mean, they would highlight a running back like Tariq Cohen the same way, and Sproles has been often comp to Cohen, yeah, or vice versa.
But Cohen actually has the production. Cohen can actually...
Sproles was hurt for the bulk of the season.
I know, but since he's come back, he hasn't really done the thing. He's there.
He's had a good game against the Texans.
Okay.
He's had a very good game against the Texans and has mattered on a play or two otherwise. You're right. I mean, it's not as though it's this transformational performance. There's no doubt about it. But if he creates space a little bit and gets you some room to work for the two tight ends they want to run and Alshon, then so be it.
Yeah, I understand that ideally if you're talking about a 25-year-old Darren Sproles, that was a thing.
He's 35.
Right. It's... Fine. And I get it that they don't have the bell cow running back, and that is a name that people know. He's a guy who has been really good and who's still fast enough. He's their fastest running back.
It's not like he plays a lot of snaps. They have him out there for a specific role. They have Josh Adams, the running back from Notre Dame last year, with really long legs.
Yeah,
yes.
He was out there, and was it Wendell? Is Wendell Smallwood still healthy?
Yeah, he is. And Sproles played about 40% or so his last couple of weeks. Those
were his snap counts. He's going to be is he's their third down guy, third and short, third and medium. We need someone in the flat to catch someone and maybe make one guy miss. He can still do that. I mean, he did it last week.
He's the we'll see guy if he can do it while he's wearing Danny Trevathan's ass as a hat.
I'd rather Roquan Smith out there doing that kind of stuff. Although Trevathan has been, have you noticed that too? Trevathan's been, I think, a lot better in cover. Remember that Cardinals game where he got victimized some on a little bit of a miscommunication, but didn't have the speed to turn things around and run it out to the corner of that end zone? He's been better in coverage as well.
That's when the hyphenated guy beat him into the end zone, right?
Was it a hyphen? That's right.
It was one of the hyphenated
guys. It was a hyphen guy.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Okay, thank you. There's like the Tavares Scantling Jr. and
Marquez Valdez Scantlin.
There you go.
Right?
Okay.
Is that how that...
I think so.
Or did I just make up a guy for the Packers to have on their team next year?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and...
the law firm?
Dallas Goedert's the guy that could be sneaky problematic.
Dallas Goedert, still one of my...
Second tight end, and he's the guy
that is one of my plays of the year.
When we got... Because that was the Eagles talking a bunch of junk in Dallas, trading up front of the Cowboys, who everybody knew needed a tight end and liked him.
Oh.
And then talk the smack at the podium and then take the tight end.
Origin story.
It's one of my plays of the year, actually. One of my NFL plays of the year of the Dallas Goedert play where he suffered like four different concussions.
Just slapped around the head five or six times.
Massive head injury. They rip his helmet off. They interfere with him five times and then they call offensive pass interference on him for doing nothing.
Why?
One of the most unjust. It's there with the Clay Matthews roughing the passer. There have been the Dallas Goedert play. It's like, what? What are you doing to me?
The Clay Matthews one is the one where he turns and tries to lay Kirk Cousins down while taking him down.
He gives him two MyPillows.
And that was at the height of our fervor about that rule to begin with, about all of it being changed and adjudicated so poorly.
They did a better job, though.
It evened out over most of the season, and I think whatever they did to hush up or change the way the whistles were being blown on it, I felt a little bit better about the rest of the season.
We are going to do a wacky radio bit coming up in just a little bit, after which we are going to give you yet another chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. In just a moment, we are going to simulcast with our counterparts at WIP in Philadelphia, their midday show of Joe DiCamera and John Ritchie. So you're going to want to hear it. I don't know what direction it's going to go, but we're going to do it on the score.
Cohen's got the goal line. He barrels into the end zone for the touchdown.
Hey, it's Mac from the McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6. Yes, it's the Bears taking on the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. It's happening at Soldier Field. We are talking about it right up until kickoff, covering it like nobody else. It's Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Never saw it as a problem when I was younger. Two cigarettes, three cigarettes. It wasn't a habit. My mom, she was always like, you need to do something. You need to get rid of them. That was her thing. As time went on and smoking started falling out of fashion in society and rules started changing, gave the Juul a real chance and found out I liked it, found out it really works. The switch was easy. It was a no-brainer, really. But now that I look at people who smoke, I'm like, dude, really? You still doing that? You know, there's an alternative to that, right? You don't have to do that. The person that I'd like to think that I am is because of her. This came from her, really.
Patrick made the switch December 2016. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's JUUL.com. Warning, This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
This week, you'll find great deals at Walgreens. Now with card, buy one, get one free on hundreds of vitamins and supplements through February 23rd. Save on great brands such as Nature's Bounty Vitamins and more. And 16-ounce Blue Diamond Almonds are just $5.99 with card. Get great deals on the essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Of equal or lesser value, restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Show transition on the score. No holds barred show interaction. Now, three times a day on the score between Mullion Hall and Bernstein and McKnight at 9 a.m.
All right, so how quickly does Notre Dame hire Urban Meyer?
No.
Well, that's interesting.
They wait a year.
Who are the stooge assistants that could take over for a year while you wait for Urban?
I don't think they would do that.
Then at one between Bernstein and McKnight and McNeil and Parkins.
Nagy says that he's got a superstition. Saturday night, he has his ritual Haagen-Dazs. Vanilla.
See, I would have pegged him for something a little bit more exotic, wouldn't you? Vanilla for Matt Nagy?
And finally, right before six, between McNeil and Parkins and Lawrence Holmes.
Everyone goes right for Sowell to, you know, he's the first guy there at his locker, and people are just screaming, he's not a lineman, he's an athlete! Because his teammates are screaming from, like, every end of the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
They were so happy.
These are fun times.
Yep, you better believe it.
Show transition now three times a day on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Station.
Message limits apply. Additional terms online.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is all 49-year-old Dale Sauerbeck of Pittston had to say after police arrested him for burglary.
Is there anything you want to say?
Hang on. Go Eagles.
Why not?
Civic pride.
Gonna get the mugshot taken? You might as well just say that. It is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is improve. Text improve to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is improve to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Bernstein and McKnight with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score as the Bears and the Eagles are preparing. We are going to get you the latest on what we find out about who is practicing for the Bears today. Yeah. Eddie Jackson came back in limited fashion yesterday, and we didn't get as much of an indication as to whether or not that was predictive of whether or not he's going to play, but we will find that out a little bit later on. Right now, we are going to welcome in you listening on WIP, so the Eagles fans and the Bears fans join up now as we bring in our counterparts from WIP Philadelphia, the midday team of Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. What's happening, guys? How are you?
Hey, fellas. Dan and Connor, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you guys, man. Getting excited for the game.
Yeah, what are we missing about this matchup in that the many people outside of our respective bubbles see this as not as close a game, perhaps, as the rest of us do? 5.5 point difference, 6 point. What are we not seeing?
Well, let me, because I agree with you, but just on that point, so Dan, you think it'll be a close? Because I think it'll be close. So you're saying you also think it'll be close?
You know, part of me is just, I'm generally pessimistic sometimes about the Bears because I tend to turn into a meatball as I get close to game time. And a lot of it, too, is football's weird. That it's not basketball, and you have a limited number of possessions, and you have weather, and you have weird bounces and high variance. So I generally tend to think games are closer.
I thought initially that the line they started at was because they weren't sure if Nick Foles with the chest injury
right.
was maybe not going to be 100% or maybe not going to play, and they thought maybe Nate Sudfeld would be the quarterback, and that's why it started at, you know, 6 points or something, 7 points. But now we know that Nick Foles is good to go, and for some reason the line has not adjusted accordingly. That was my thought on that front. I do think there's a lot to be said for the experience that this Eagles team has in postseason play. You know, it's not like they were in the postseason a few years back. This team, the vast majority of the guys taking the field in Chicago are guys who won the Super Bowl last year. And it does count for something. What's the Chicago perception of this Eagles team, guys?
Well, that's what we were trying to kind of puncture a little bit yesterday, is that I think from the Bears fans' perspective, it's a team that just so overachieved that the revelry was it was real high. Because the last 3 years, guys, have been just an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
So to have a 12-4 season, it's just pure joy. And the way the Eagles came back from the dead is that, you know, nationally it was covered as just magic and miracle and joy and hope and stuff, and not a real football team. But that's a real football team. And I think, you know, if it's going to be a close game, which I tend to think it'll be maybe a little bit closer than the spread, both of these teams are time of possession teams. They're second and third in the NFL. Doug Peterson understands he's got to keep the ball away from the other team's offense, and I think Matt Nagy understands the same thing, which doesn't surprise a lot since they're coming from the same tree.
How good a coach is Matt Nagy?
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. And again, part of it for us is moving away from the John Fox era to this one, because it might be damning with faint praise. Matt Nagy's a normal guy. He's just a real person in a way that John Fox was not. And Nagy has reached out to the fans and embraced the fans and almost recruited the fans a little bit. You'll notice that Soldier Field is using this air raid siren sound effect now, and this was all his doing, coming from Kansas City, knowing that noise can disrupt verbose opposing offensive communication, that this has been his thing, and he's given the fans a lot of buy-in. So it's not, it has been the winning primarily, we can never mistake that, but it's also the fact that he's been a real person in a way that the fans have really grown to like him.
He's just a good guy too. He's from Pennsylvania. That probably contributes. What's the consensus on Mitchell Trubisky? Believe in him?
No, there isn't one. There is no consensus on Mitchell Trubisky. Some will tell you he is the ruin of the franchise for years to come. Others are convinced he's the anointed one. I mean, it's all over the place. But
we don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks in Chicago. We're impaired.
We're at a deficit.
This city has never been able to understand what's in front of them at quarterback, especially as the nature of the position and the evaluation of the position is changing from Sid Luckman. You know, quarterbacking talk in this town generally has been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess, I mean, he's your hope, but an experience. Well, I'll tell you this, guys. Foles here in Philly is obviously beloved last year, but I'm a big believer in him. And it's fascinating to talk here. You know, Wentz, a player, obviously, you go back 12 months ago or, you know, 14 months ago before the injury last year, a player that it's like, wow, this guy could be literally he's got a shot to be the best player in pro football for the next 10 to 15 years. And he still does. But he was not very effective this year. He was not terrible, but he was certainly not great. There was times where he wasn't even good. And I'll tell you guys, Foles has stepped in there, and he's clearly looking better than Wentz did this year. And Philadelphia is big believers in Nick Foles right now, and I certainly am one of them. I mean, I'll tell you, you're going to see a guy that will get the ball out quickly. He seems to know where open receivers are, which certainly gives the impression that pre-snap he has an understanding of the defense he's facing and the matchups that might benefit him on a given play. And he's not afraid to put the ball up and take some shots. You know, Carson Wentz wasn't, you know, really throwing the ball well to Alshon. You guys are very familiar with Alshon, obviously a great, you know, 50-50 kind of receiver, go up there and get that ball. And Nick Foles has given him some shots to get it. Alshon's getting it. And you're definitely facing on Sunday in the lead up to it, I'd say, the best version of the 2018 Eagles, who really, you go back a month or two ago, we're just flat out not a good football team. The Eagles were just not good for good portions of this year. Tons of injuries. And the Eagles have rounded into shape. This is the best version of the 2018 Eagles right now.
Well, have they rounded up some of the confidence in that secondary, too? Yeah. Or has that been by some of the pass rush? Avante Maddox has played really well.
Yeah.
But he is, I mean, the size does kind of concern, at least coming out of the draft and into the NFL.
Combination of both. Pass rush has been great. Fletcher Cox, a great player that, you know, I don't think is on the Donald and Mack level, but certainly is, you know, in a range of discussion where I don't think nationally he usually gets that kind of talk and should get a little bit more. I'll tell you what, Michael Bennett from Seattle, obviously, you know, still bringing it big time. You get some other guys like Brandon Graham, Chris Long, give you some pressure there for the Birds. So the secondary was the weakest of all aspects of the Eagles this year. It was horrendous for about 2 months. You're right, Maddox has made a heck of a difference. And the pass rush, though, is benefiting from the secondary is benefiting from the pass rush, which is playing its best ball right now.
We feel like that weakness, though, our secondary is somewhat, you know, mediated by the fact that, you know, your wide receivers are banged up. And I wonder, do Bears fans like your wide receivers?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think they're a big fan of Allen Robinson. I think Taylor Gabriel's been streaky probably at points. And Miller's just not been, you know, I think healthy enough all season long to make the impact plays he did in the first 4 weeks or so.
Yeah, and don't forget, Tariq Cohen, even though he's listed wherever you want to list him
as your feature back.
Running back or kick returner, punt returner, he runs wide receiver routes. So you will see him used effectively as a wide receiver. You know, I wanted to mention, you mentioned that Nick Foles not afraid to throw the ball down the field. And this idea of aggressiveness and lack of fear is something that we're sort of learning under Matt Nagy. It's been a year of these, for lack of a better term, trick plays. They don't really see him as trick plays because to him, they're just plays. Mm-hmm. And this is what he does. He keeps the players excited. Philly special was a thing. Philly special, guys literally getting it tattooed of diagrams of this play on their body. So I asked this question. I sort of put it out yesterday, and I'm wondering if this applies here. Are you cool with one of those things going sideways on you? Are you cool now? And maybe having won a Super Bowl, it obviously changes the calculus, but I refuse to be that guy that is celebrating all the wackiness when it works and then crapping all over the coach when it doesn't. I think this is baked in to the way they look at football and the way they play the game, and I'm going to do my damnedest. If one of these trick plays does not work or gets sniffed out, I can't be the "what are you doing" guy, because that's what they do.
Well, I agree with you, and I'll take it in another direction. It's not what you call a trick play, but it's a little similar nature. Doug Peterson, Eagles coach, has a belief, as I'm sure you guys know, of going for fourth downs. And the Philly special was an example of it. They just happened to run an unusual play on fourth down, but it's fourth and goal from the one versus New England near the end of the first half in the Super Bowl. And he's done those type of things. Like, it's amazing to us guys how many times national announcers, whether it's on Fox or CBS, when it's fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three, they'll say,
"You got to punt it here."
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Brenneman did the other way.
Over.
What is he
over.
He might be going for it. I'm like, he might be going for it. Where you been?
Yeah. We know Doug's about to go for it. Like, we don't even debate it. And I agree with your point. It's like in the instances when you get stopped and it's going to happen, certainly as a talk show host and as an Eagles fan, I've expressed on this show many times, like, look, you got to live with the fact that you're going to have failure sometimes. Because you're also going to have successes sometimes. I totally agree with your philosophy. Embrace the fact that they're doing what... I mean, listen, I'll be as critical as anybody and everybody when I feel they've made the wrong choice. But if I feel they made the right choice and it was rooted in logic, even, let's call it newfangled logic, you know, where the data shows, hey, this is go-for-it territory, I'm supportive of the aggressiveness that they have.
Guys, this is a lot of
great
fun.
Great talking with you.
I need to know one last thing before we get done. Yeah, so much is being made of this number one scoring defense in the NFL. You guys are number one at stopping the run. How good is the Bears defense?
It's really good. It's really good. And it's in large part because Khalil Mack is a destroyer of worlds. He's an he is when you watch him, it's not just the statistical stuff. What he does every single play that changes all the attention and changes the geometry of everything else just because of the concern, just because of what he does. There's so much immeasurable impact that he has. It really is incredible.
What's the weakness of this defense?
Linebackers in coverage, probably a little bit of a weakness, though that's been kind of shored up with Trevathan and Smith playing recently. I'd say it's the weakness that they've shown most often is against quarterbacks who have gotten the ball out fast enough to defeat the fact that Khalil Mack can't cover 6 yards in less than a second. He is, in fact, human. So that's the one limiting thing he's got.
Guys, I got two questions for you. Home field advantage. Take us inside the mindset of the Bears fan heading into that game on Sunday. How starved that fan is and how much that fan and those 70 or 80,000 will make a difference.
It's going to be a noise issue. If they're as loud as they have been and the PA has been goosing them at times, they're going to turn up some of the sound effects. And if that results in an offense that is having trouble communicating, that's a win, and that's an actual tangible effect.
And last thing, who wins the game, guys?
I'm terrible predicting football games. I think the Bears are the better team. I think if they play 7 times, or they play 10 times, the Bears win 7. I just don't know if this is one of those 3 or not.
I'll take the Bears. I just don't want it to be on Cody Parkey's foot ever.
We sure do.
John, who wins the game?
I know.
I think the Eagles win 20-18 on a Jake Elliott last-second field goal after Cody Parkey misses one.
Yep, guys, Eagles
win the game. And I'll tell you what, I got great respect for what your squad did this year, 12-4, tremendous turnaround, the whole deal. I think the Eagles are poised to win this. They definitely, the players, have a confidence about them that they believe they can go in there and do it. I think they will. But I'm not going to wish you the best of luck, but I will say this, it's been a pleasure talking. It really is. Yeah.